You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio with my co-hosts, Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning, Joanne.
And Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Joanne.
And we are here every other month on Coast Community Radio talking about services for seniors, usually of the social service variety. And today, we're going to take a look at these two agencies, one in Oregon and one in Washington, and talk about the many, many services that they offer, kind of an overview of what's available on both sides of the Columbia River for our listeners. So, Michelle, you are with Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Can you just give us kind of an overview of what that agency is?
Yeah, we are an area agency on aging, which means that we carry a lot of the senior programs and our disability programs within that same wall. We have our nutrition programs and senior peer counseling, SHEBA programs, a myriad of Older American Act type programs, and our Medicaid and food stamp programs all in that one center. We are also operated under Northwest Senior Disability Services, which isn't really a state agency. It is an operation from all five counties. We serve five counties, Marion, Polk, Yamhill, Tillamook, and Clatsop County. And we are directed with a director's board that has a commissioner from each county sees that we're doing our job.
And your local office, the office that you're based in, is where?
We just moved. We moved to Warrington. We were in Gearhart, and we moved to Warrington right behind the animal shelter.
Well, Doug, how about you? You are Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington State, so tell us a little bit about that agency and what it does.
Well, the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, as with Michelle's Area Agency on Aging, we're the same thing. We're federally mandated. We're actually started through the Older Americans Act in the late 60s, early 70s. Our mandate is to coordinate community services, to provide Medicaid, in-home care services, case management, and that type of thing. We'll get into more detail later. But also the Older American Act monies, the nutrition, home-delivered meals, in-home care, SHEBA insurance programs, family caregiver support. There's a whole myriad of them. Locally, we're known as Senior Information and Assistance. That's what most people in our community know us as. And we're also mandated to have that in the white pages and in the phone book under Senior Information and Assistance, although we also work with non-senior disabled folks who need advocacy or referral or assistance or programs and so on. And our agency covers the coast of Washington. We have Clallam, Jefferson, Grays Harbor, and Pacific County.
So I think it's important to say, and we say this a lot on the show, that if you have a question about any kind of a senior issue, you can call either of these folks, either of these agencies. If you're in Oregon, you should call Northwest Senior and Disability Services. In Washington, the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. And even if one of their programs isn't specifically something that can help you, they can often refer you to someone who can help you. So it's a tremendous opportunity to tap into a big clearinghouse of services. And each of their agencies offer many, many services, but don't be afraid to call. There are no dumb questions is kind of what we like to say about it. You will always get a helpful answer of someone, a referral or something to give you some information.
Yeah, we like to say that we may not have all the answers, but we usually know where the answers are. A lot of times we'll get a call for someone who may, maybe during, for example, we just finished Medicare Part D open enrollment. You may get someone coming in and asking about that, and in your conversation with them, you begin to see that there's some other areas that they're really struggling with, and that sort of opens the door for us to look at some of the other programs.
Well, why don't we start, Michelle, with you about what are some of the things that you would like people to know are available to them through Northwest Senior and Disability Services in Oregon?
Well, we talked a little bit about nutrition programs. We have our meal sites in Seaside, and the one in Swinson is operated by our agency. We also help with the home-delivered meals in Warrington. So that's one aspect, and we all know we have other meal sites, too, in our area. We have the Loaves and Fishes in Astoria, and then Warrington does their own hot meal program. So it's good to know that we can help you find all the resources for the meal sites, no matter whether we operate them or somebody else, we'll get you to them.
So is that a place where somebody can just go and have a meal?
People who are over 60, they ask for a small donation, but if you can't afford it, that's okay. And then our home-delivered meal program is for anybody over 60, and it's basically homebound or having trouble making their meals at home. We also have the Senior Peer Counseling Program, which is run by volunteers that go out and help people through large transitional periods. Like if they are moving from a house of 50 years into assisted living, it may be a difficult time for them, or if they've lost a spouse. A lot of losses happen in our older years, and these folks are trained to help them through those transitions. We have our Senior Health Insurance Beneficiary Program. That is help with Medicare options. That's become incredibly complex over the last few years, and we have some wonderful volunteers and are looking for more that have learned all those options and how to approach them and can explain how to navigate through it. I tell people it's like the blue book, you know, learning what's out there and how to, the terminology can help you make those decisions, and that's what these folks do. We also have our Medicaid programs there that will help them with long-term care. It'll help them, there's some programs that help pay for those Part B Medicare premiums. We also have our food stamp program through there also.
Okay.
Kind of a basic outline of what we've got.
Okay, and Doug, how about you? Can you kind of do the same sort of overview?
Right, we do a lot of the same with the nutrition sites, home-delivered meals. We contract for those to be provided to people. Kind of the same guidelines and that Michelle mentioned. We also do the Medicaid in-home care programs for people that are at home and eligible for Medicaid and need assistance in the home to be able to live successfully or at least relatively safe. We also have a family caregiver support program that provides respite for family caregivers who need a break in the home and need to be able to get out and maybe reattach to a hobby or even just to get out and do the errands that they need to do. It also covers counseling for the caregiver. When their stress levels are rising, we can provide counseling through our local mental health agency for the caregiver. We also have a kinship care program, which is for any relative raising another relative's children. A lot of people have heard of grandparents raising grandchildren, but it could also include uncles raising nieces, nephews, cousins, any of that. And that's a program where once a year we can provide a help. Generally, we run into it when people have picked up a relative's children and school's starting. And it's been a long time since they've had to buy school supplies or have dues and that kind of thing. So we've done everything from band instruments to beds to clothes to whatever, and that's a once-a-year thing we can do for each of those people in the kinship care program. There's also an assessment tool, doesn't matter what it's called, I was going to get into that, but it doesn't really matter, that our family caregiver person will go out and do an assessment on the caregiver and then offer, be able to provide a group of services through support groups and counseling, as I mentioned, and different things that will benefit the caregiver and support them while they continue in their task. So, and we have the SHEBA, the Statewide Health Insurance Benefits Advisors, to help with the Medicare navigation. And I was thinking while you were talking, Michelle, about, yeah, there's Part D, there's the Medigap, Medicare Advantage plans, and thankfully we do have volunteers that are very knowledgeable in all of that. But Medicare becomes pretty complicated, and it's something you don't think about until it's time to do something about it. So we have that also. And along with that, we also do some non-senior things with the SHEBA, like Apple for Children is one program for children's insurance and so on. Navigating basic health or what's left of it is something else we do. Prescription assistance programs, that type of thing. So there's a whole sort of variety of health insurance issues that we do there. We also have nursing services, primarily for training, and it could be client or caregiver training for people in the Medicaid programs. They also do community outreach like fall prevention, living well with chronic conditions, that type of thing. We also have a grant right now that we're coming towards the end of it, but it's a nursing home diversion grant where we can provide services to people who have been in the nursing home and are over 60 and have certain functional and financial criteria. We can help do whatever it takes and throw some money into the home to do some remodeling or modifications or something so they can remain home. Divert from the nursing homes, as the name implies. We also, in the Long Beach office in South Pacific County, we're the front door for Rebuilding Together. Rebuilding Together is a program of volunteer contractors and electricians and all that kind of stuff that work in the different communities to do minor repairs on homes for seniors, low-income seniors. They may go in and replace the porch or the steps or the windows or the doors. They don't do roofs yet. They can't quite get past that liability, but but they'll do a lot of other things for those homes. And in order, since it is a volunteer organization, our agency stepped in and said, well, we'll be your office, sort of, and we'll do your reception and referral for that. So we do those type of programs, and there's some other minor programs that we do, some minor home repair and emergency monies and that type of thing. But we really encourage people to, if you have a need, to give us a call, or if you need information, to give us a call, because we are information and assistance. And a lot of what we do is provide the information, advocate on the client's behalf, and walk with them through the referral process.
Are people calling your offices all day long?
I mean, absolutely.
So you're at Michelle, the phones are really busy where you are.
Absolutely. And we're only going to get busier as our population ages. Definitely expect to have busy times. Unfortunately, you know, aging is something that sometimes we just don't want to think about, and so we don't learn it as we're growing older. We're not really gathering that information on an active basis, and so when the time comes and there is an emergency or the family sees a need, all of a sudden it's all new information, and we're more than glad to help with that. The Family Caregiver Support Program that Doug was talking about earlier is one that we oftentimes will be that opening door. Families are starting to take care, you know, realizing that they have families and family members that need care, and they're trying to work their jobs. Sometimes they're still raising their children, and they're taking care of mom and dad and their aging needs. And when that becomes to a crisis level where they no longer, they're trying to figure out how they can provide that in the future, Family Caregiver Support Program is sometimes the door that opens all those other doors. We in our county, we have a class called Powerful Tools for Caregivers. Mm-hmm. You also have
yes,
one there?
Yes, we have that.
Yeah, and so we've got that set up now that we have enough instructors finally in our area that we're trying to set that up so we have the 6-week Powerful Tool for Caregiver program available quarterly. Somebody in our county will be teaching it every quarter. And so that's a good thing to call us about, too, is when the next class is. That class is really about identifying the stresses that a caregiver is incurring. Sometimes you're just stuffing it in. You're just doing what you need to do as a good family member. You're just taking care of mom and dad the way that you've always thought you were supposed to, but you're not really paying attention to the stresses that you're accumulating. This program helps you identify those stresses and ways to work through them and getting the support that you need as a caregiver. So excellent program. I would encourage it for anybody who's caring for their family members.
Okay. Well, what about you, Doug? Is the Olympic Area Agency, are their your phones ringing off the hook?
Oh, yes.
They
yes.
are.
We,
okay.
And we do a tracking that just tracks the sort of information and assistance calls. It may be something as simple as I'm trying to locate the senior center in the community, or it may be something I've heard about this. Can you tell me more about it? Or I need some legal assistance. Who can I go to get legal assistance in this area and so on? Those type of calls we track separate from our Medicaid calls and our SHIBA calls and all of that. And you were asking about how many. Last month, we had over 300 calls that were just that type of call. And that's apart from working with SHIBA and the family caregiver and the Medicaid programs and all of that. So, yeah, the phones are constantly ringing. Now more and more people are emailing, you know, from our website. They're contacting us. The column that I do weekly has my email address, so I get a lot of email that way.
Right, and that's in the Chinook Observer.
Yes,
right, yeah.
And the Willapa Harbor Herald and the South Beach Bulletin, and I think there may be others, but the Observer is the one that people in,
that's
in
a great column.
The South
that's
County
really
would
informative.
Get. And so we get a lot of calls from that. A lot more people are using email now to contact us, and which is really good. I mean, that's great, too. Any way that we can let people know we're out there, we're up for. we all do on both sides of the river, you know, community events and sponsor things and try to get it out there. But as Michelle said, it's something you don't really think about because you don't think that you're, you know, I'm still 30 in my head. You know, my body doesn't agree, but my brain says I'm still 30. We don't think about the fact that we're aging, and in the family caregiver thing especially. You tell them, well, you know, there's these classes or there's this thing we can do, and they're thinking, how can I find time for that when I'm, you know, I'm already don't have any time. And so the ability to provide respite so they can get out to these classes or do these other things is very helpful. And generally it's kind of difficult initially because they don't see how they can fit anything else in. Once they do it, they realize how beneficial it is, and it really helps.
Well, what is the most common request that you get? Are there any that stand out, Michelle, where people call about a particular thing more than anything else?
You know, we get the Marriott right now. I know lately I'm overwhelmed with Sheba calls, but that we just came through the open enrollment thing. That's definitely grown in our area big time. Long-term care probably is one of the bigger factors. What do you do when you can no longer stay at home, or if you by yourself, you need some extra help, and you realize how much that can cost. You know, can you afford that? And so, families start looking at how much support they can give, and how much they're going to need from other people, other factors, and other agency support. And then they start looking for help from our agency. And we want them. I'd like them to come in earlier than that, but certainly at that point, come on in. And that's probably one of our bigger programs. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to take a moment and remind our listeners that you're listening to A Senior Moment on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout, and I'm here in the studio with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. And these folks are real experts in all of the social services for seniors in our area. And they we're talking today kind of an overview of all the many kind of the abundance of services that are available here for people that many people may not realize are even there. Well, I wanted to ask a question about cost. So I know that many of your services are free, but are there things that people are, is it on an income basis that some services are available? Doug, could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it really does depend on the program. Our services, they can always contact us. Our time is, is always free. They can talk with us. We can walk with them. Our advocacy services are free, our referral services. Some of the other things that involve some of the different types of state funding, there may be a sliding scale. If you're at a certain income, you may have to pay a percentage of the cost on something. For example, at least over there in Washington, our respite program, you know, they look at the income of the household, and then they divide that in half, and then they go on this sliding fee schedule, and you may have a 1 or 5% participation in the cost of what it takes to get a caregiver in the home, or you may not. So some of those are, but they're usually very minimal. Generally, it's eligibility standard instead of some sort of cost to them. If their income's at a certain level, it's either free or it's a reduced cost. And then when we're dealing with Sheba things, there's always our services in helping you find, for example, a Part D program. That's all free, but whatever program you find, there is going to have fees to it. It's an insurance program. You're going to have co-pays or premiums or whatever. But our services as information and assistance, as area agencies on aging, those are free.
Okay. Yeah. We have one program called Oregon Project Independence is a good example of that. That is not a Medicaid program. That's a state-funded program. It helps people get in-home care without going into Medicaid quite often. People don't have the same financial qualification factors as Medicaid would have. But if you make a certain amount of money, you're going to have a sliding fee scale for that home care worker. Still can save you a whole lot of money and get you the services you need to stay independent in your home. So, and that's its intention. So we do have some programs like that. And then long-term care, again, depending on your income for Medicaid even, you may have a pay-in. But that's all relative to your ability to pay. One of the things that we are working on right now is finding all our folks in our area that may qualify for the low-income subsidy program through Medicare. If you have a low income and lower end resources, I think it's up to like $24,000 right now in resources. and you make under a certain amount of money, you can qualify for low-income subsidy, which could help you pay for your Part D premium and keeps you out of the donut hole. It does a lot of good things for you, and we would like to see people call and see if we might be able to qualify for that. You can either call our office to do that, or you can call Social Security Administration, and they will set up a phone interview with you to see if you qualify for it.
And can you just explain what the donut hole is, just in case people
sure.
don't know what it is?
Sure. That's a point in time that you have spent over, I don't have the numbers with me right now, but when you've spent over a certain amount of money on your true retail cost of your medications have been spent, then you fall into this point in time where you're not qualified anymore until you come off the other side at a catastrophic level. And so you end up with this gap in coverage, and that's what we call the donut hole. If you're on low-income subsidy, you do not have to worry about that gap. And so it's important that people try to find out if they qualify for it.
Okay.
And also with that, in light of that, a lot of times if people are eligible for the low-income subsidy, they might also be eligible for some of the, I'm trying not to speak in acronyms here, the Medicare savings programs. They're called QMB and SLMB. They call them Quimby and Slimby, and there's another one. But basically what it is, if you're at a certain level, then the state will pay, or Medicaid will pay for your Part B premium, not D, but B, the clinic, the doctor, that type of thing. Because as most of our folks who are getting Social Security know, if they get an increase of 3%, their Part B premium usually goes up 3%, and it's a wash. But those programs, and they can call our offices or Medicare or their DSHS or DHS office or whatever, to get more information on that. But it's a savings. It really helps a lot of people.
This year, actually, there's actually another piece of that put in. If you qualify for a low-income subsidy program or you apply for it, they will actually send the application in for the Medicare savings program. So you're applying for both at the same time, basically. So if you don't make the mark in one program, you may in the other, and they want to make sure they're filling those gaps.
Well, it's just another reason why it's so important for people to call if they have a question and not assume that they know that they might not qualify.
Difficult, too, because as Michelle can attest to, when we're doing outreach or we're talking on like a venue like this, we can talk in generalities, but every person is unique. And so, sometimes people will come in and say, well, I heard you say that I could do this and this and this. Well, we have to look at your income, we have to look at your assets, we have to look at those type of things. So it is good to just give us a call, because we have staff that are trained to just sort of work their way through all of that and find out what the bottom line is, what help you need, and go from there.
Well, I wanted to ask a question. Maybe it's a little bit of a downer question, but I think it's a question that's on everybody's minds about just about every program these days that has any government funding attached to it, and that is, what effect is the recession having on funding for the things that you offer? Are you hearing any rumblings about cuts, or has anything been cut, Michelle?
Actually, to this point, we haven't had a lot of cuts going on, but we've had some help to fill those gaps, and we've just got our measures through. So hopefully, we're not going to see a whole lot of cuts. We still have problems out in the future. So within our biennium, we still have issues that we are going to have to deal with. But so far, so good. So far, we haven't had to take away anything. And actually, we see a little bit more funding in the family caregiver support programs. As during the State of the Union address with President Obama, that he announced that he was actually going to be funding that program with some extra funds. Mm-hmm. So that's good news. Doesn't mean, Oregon has its issues, and doesn't mean we're not going to see some later, but right now we're okay.
So the passage of 66 and 67 will be helpful to you, to your programs?
I believe that's true, yes. It's going to be helpful to a lot of our public programs, and this is definitely one of them.
Mm, okay. Doug, how about you?
Well, those measures aren't going to help Washington at all.
No, but darn. I hate it when that happens.
It only goes halfway across the river. Right now, our the initial governor's budget was pretty dismal. Her secondary budget that she's put out, that still has to go through the legislature and all of that, she has really tried to restore all the social service cuts that were planned initially. And as Michelle said, at the federal level, they are really paying more attention to family caregiver support and those type of things that actually reduce the cost at the federal level and the state level, the cost of care. And in the state legislatures in Washington, when things were being either frozen or you know, people were really hesitant, those are the only type of programs that actually saw an increase. Right now, if the governor's proposed budget is accepted and goes through, we'll be okay. Again, we got to look at the next biennium. We have to look at, you know, what's down the road. But at this point, we don't want anyone to feel like, well, they probably don't have any money, so let's do something else. We just encourage people to keep on calling us, and we're doing business as usual right now.
Well, as unemployment is rising, and this may affect people who are not seniors more than seniors, but certainly we're talking about families here overall. Are you seeing an increase in requests as unemployment rises? Is there any correlation there, Michelle, that you're seeing?
The kind of programs that we deal with, we're usually dealing with our disabled population, that employment is unfortunately not the issue, and our senior retired population. So generally needs, you know, people who may not have applied for food stamps before may be applying for food stamps now. But our populations usually are on fixed incomes to begin with.
Okay. Doug, are you seeing anything on your side?
No, I'm not seeing any real impact there. You know, at the other end, I guess, during times of recruiting, when we're recruiting for staff, it's not unusual now to see someone come in who thought they were going to be retired for a long time. But as for unemployment having an impact on that, I'm not really seeing anything that doesn't really impact our programs, at least what I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, I think we're at the point in the program where we give contact information so that people can know how to get in touch with you. So, Michelle, what are the best ways for people to find you?
We have a brand new phone number. It's 503-861-4200. And our new address is 2002 Southeast Chokeberry Avenue. And again, that is right behind the animal shelter, kind of also behind the new Costco building. So it's pretty easy to find. And our bus routes go up there now, so that's a good thing. We also have a website, nwsds.org.
Okay, great. And Doug, how about you?
I'd like to, just before I do that, I just wanted to put in a plug for, I had mentioned earlier that one of the programs that we do to educate the community is Living Well with Chronic Conditions. And that's being offered starting February 12th at Ocean Beach Hospital in Owako. It's a six-week course. They meet once a week. It's free. And it's co-sponsored by the hospital and our agency. And it's for people with diabetes and heart disease and those type of chronic pain, those type of chronic conditions. And it's about reducing stress and frustration, about tools you can use to manage your care. And the people that have been through it are really excited about it. So I just wanted to sort of put that plug in. Oh, the contact person for that. That would be good. Is Denise Ross, and that phone number is 360-642-6308.
Okay. And then what about you? How to get in touch with you or your office?
Our office in Long Beach is 642-3634. In Raymond, our office is 942-2177. And we also have a website at www.o3a.org. And there's a new link and resource directory on that website now, too, that goes beyond us to all the resources in the area.
Okay. Well, you've been listening to A Senior Moment on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout. I've been here in the studio with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Thanks, Michelle, for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And Doug Schaefer from Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington. Thanks again for being here, Doug.
My pleasure.
Well.